It's a blessing. Thank you, Craig. A couple of things I do need to clarify. One, the orchestra will not be able to meet tonight, and Don and I just talked about that, because many of those in the orchestra will be over at the teen meeting, and of course the teens will be coming over here for baptism after their service. And another thing, my wife wrote me a note, and it is very true that our service here will be over before the preaching starts over there. And those of you who are soul winners, in other words, you're not helping out with anything else, but you are wanting to be a soul winner over there, you can be in the service here tonight and then go over there to get there in time for the preaching over in the meeting in the gym. So definitely come here, come to the service, 6 o'clock. We'll get out sometime. And then right after that, you can go over to the gym. You'll make sure there's some seats. Well, we hope there's no room. Amen. We hope it's packed. Have no idea what to expect. But anyway, then you can go over. Listen, Brother Rodney Stewart will be preaching. He'll be starting off things tonight with the meeting. And Brother Caleb tomorrow night. And then myself on Tuesday night. But you're welcome to go over there after our service. Go over, hear the preaching, and be there for the invitation. Help out as a soul winner. And that'll be a blessing, so make sure you do that. And again, I'll mention that again tonight with the group that is here. So again, no orchestra practice. In fact, I'm going to miss my orchestra tonight because we won't have them in the service because many will be involved with the youth explosion. Exploding teenagers. Should be exciting. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Well, here in Hebrews, we have a pretty tough passage, but we're going to try to make it a little simpler, dealing with especially verses 6 through 8. And it says, one in a certain place testified, saying, now that certain place and that one is, it's in the book of Psalms, Psalms 8. And this is what it says, talking about man, Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And talking about us, we have dominion. By the way, that's why I eat meat. It says all sheep, the oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, chicken. Amen. Fish of the sea, catfish. It's the only kind of cat I'm interested in. We have dominion over animals, amen? That's what it says, right? Except for those of you who submit to your cat. But anyway. And then he goes back in Hebrews is talking about that. But it's interesting what he says in verse 8, not necessarily a direct quote, but talking about what he says about man here and how God has made man to have dominion and different things like that. It says, thou hast put all things, verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, and watch this, but now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, man, when God made him to be in dominion over everything. Everything was to be subject to man. And of course, we know in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they ran everything. Adam named all the animals, and literally he was in charge of everything. And boy, it was a wonderful thing until what? Until sin. And because of sin, all things then are not in subjection to man. Now it says, the Bible says in verse 8, but now we see not yet all things put under him. And all of a sudden now, because of sin, I mean, God's original plan was for everything to be in subjection to man. But because of sin, he says, but now not all things are under man. In fact, now man is subject to some things. Now because of sin, because we chose to sin, don't blame Adam and Eve, you chose to sin, you and I choose to sin. Now, he says, all things are not subject to us. In fact, now we're subject to some things. We're subject to death now. Now we are subject to death. We're now subject to bondage. Oh yeah, now we're slaves because of our sin. We're subject to Satan. Now we don't have to obey him, but isn't it amazing how many do? We're subject to sin. God said, I made you to have dominion over all things, but now because you sinned, you chose to go against me. He said, now you are in bondage. Now you are subject to something. Now you have a reason to be afraid. You know, if you're here today and you're without Christ, you are subject to those things. You are in bondage. You are going to die, not just physically, but you will die spiritually and go to a place called hell. You are now subject to the very sin that, and the result of the sin, you are subject to that. And he says, but now we, now you and I, we are subject to these things. But I love verse 9. He says this, but we see Jesus. And there's the difference right there. But we see Jesus. God says, I made you to have dominion over everything. I made you so that all would be subject to you. But because of your sin, you now are subject to death. You're subject to the result of death. You're subject to the result of sin. You're subject to bondage. But he said, we see Jesus. And there's the difference right there. We see Jesus. You see, today I'm not subject to death anymore. I'm going to die, but I have eternal life. Amen? Because I see Jesus. Because I saw Jesus. Because I saw Him lifted up. I saw Him as my Savior. And I called upon Him. And I trusted Him as my Savior. And I'm no longer subject to the bondage of sin. I'm no longer captured by sin and the result of sin. And I don't have to go to hell anymore because I see Jesus. Do you see Jesus today? Or are you subject to these things? Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts. I pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For every man. I don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus died for me. I don't have to be in bondage to sin. I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I now have a choice to do right and to serve God. Why? Because I see Jesus. And to be honest with you, the need for young people tonight, as we start a teen program for the next 3 nights, the need for the young people is they need to see Jesus. We see Jesus, the author says. We see Jesus, and He makes all the difference in the world. We see Jesus, and we're no longer in bondage. We see Jesus, and we're no longer a slave to sin. We see Jesus, and we don't have to go to hell. Amen. And that's the need for all mankind. That's the need for grandparents this morning. That's the need for parents. That's the need for teenagers. It's the need for every child that comes to our church. It's the need for the blind and the halt and the maimed. It's the need for the deaf. It's the need for our shepherds and the shepherd's ministry. It's the need for someone today who is sick, and for the alcoholic and for the drug addict and for the gang member and the prostitute and the thief and the liar and the idolater and the communist and the atheist and those that gamble and the whoremonger. Listen, the need for the world is exactly what the author says in the book of Hebrews. He says, we see Jesus. Say, how do you make it in these tough times? We see Jesus. That's how I make it. Amen. I see Jesus today. And you need to see Jesus if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs Jesus more than anything else. We see our church. But praise God for the church. Praise God for Berean Baptist Church. Thank God for that. But the world needs to see beyond Berean Baptist Church. They need to come to Berean Baptist Church so that we can point them to the one who can really help them. We can point them to the one that will free them from their bondage. We can point them to the one who will take away their sins. Amen. We can point them to the one who will give them a home in heaven instead of an eternity in hell. Hey, we see Jesus today. Do you see Him? Do you see Him today? The world needs Jesus. That's what our youth explosion's all about. Brother Caleb has told me over and over again. It's like he thinks I forget, but he talks about it all the time. I just want to see people saved. He says, I'd like to see 100 people saved. I'd like to see 200 people saved. I'd like to see 50 saved. But if we just have one saved, amen? We just want to see people saved. Why? Because God made us to be in dominion over everything. God said, hey, everything will be subject to you, but we chose to sin. We are the ones that chose a different way. And God said, I want it to be this way. But we said, no, I want to do my thing. And because of that, there's bondage. Because of that, there's hell. Because of that, there's a terrible eternity for those who are lost. But hey, listen to me. You can see Jesus and you can have freedom from your sin. Praise God. We see Jesus. You say, you want us to get that, don't you? I want you to go home today and say, thank God, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Jesus. You know, our job as a church is to help people to see Jesus. More than anything else, we want them to see Jesus. We have a lot of programs. We have a lot of promotions. I don't know how much the youth explosion, how much it's costing. But exploding dynamite in the church and stuff, it's expensive. And just kidding. Repairing everything afterwards is very expensive too. But, the truth of the matter is, that's what it's all about, is so people can see Jesus. Hey, you're here today. We want you to see Jesus. We don't want you to leave here not seeing Jesus. We don't want you to walk out and say, I had a need and I was going through a tough time and I needed some hope. Hey, listen to me. Jesus is hope. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the hope. He is everything. You need to see Jesus today. I don't want you to leave until you see Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a 900-foot Jesus that some evangelist said one time that he saw. I'm talking about seeing Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus being the Savior. I'm talking about Him coming into your heart, changing your life, making you something that God intended for you to be in the first place, but sin robbed you. We see Jesus. In the Old Testament, Israel was griping and complaining. How sad. How sad that anybody would ever gripe and complain to God. Amen. What a sad thing when people gripe and complain. But we do, don't we? We do. We tend to do that. Israel was griping and complaining about things, and so God sent some fiery serpents. That's fiery snakes. And bit the people, and the people were sick, the people were dying, and God said, okay, He said, here's what you need to do to be cured of this. He said, you need to make a serpent, a snake out of brass called the brazen serpent. You need to put that on a pole and you need to hold that up in the midst of all the people and tell the people, if they'll look at that brazen serpent, they'll live. If they don't and they've been bitten, they will die. That's exactly what I'm talking about tonight, or this morning. I'll be talking about it tonight, too. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know what? The Bible says in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, talking about that brazen serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Because we've been bitten by the snake called sin. And we've given in, and we've sinned against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And every one of us is now subject to death, to bondage, to hell. But we see Jesus. Why? Because He's been lifted up. Oh, I thank God somebody lifted Him up for me. I thank God as a teenager I saw Jesus. I thank God that young people came and they talked to me about the Lord. I might have told them to get lost at first, but God spoke to my heart. I thank God for gospel tracts that were given to me. I thank God that somebody had the guts to hand a hippie teenager a gospel tract that said, Jesus loves you. I thank God that there are people that told me. I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God who came and convicted me and troubled me and bothered me and shook me up so that I'd see Jesus. Amen. I thank God for all of those things. But listen to me, folks. It is all for naught if you and I don't lift Him up. Because people need to see Him. We see Jesus. Oh, teens, tonight they're going to see all kinds of things. Brother Caleb's got all kinds of wacky things going on. You say, why does he have to do all that? That gets them in, gets them looking. But I got news for you. There's going to come about a 20-minute period where Jesus will be lifted up. And when Jesus is lifted up, He is the hope. He's the hope of those that are in sin. He's the hope of those who are in bondage. He's the hope of that one that's thinking about suicide. He's the hope of that one who is despondent because they're being abused at home. He's the hope of that one who's an alcoholic. He's the hope of that one that's on drugs. He's the hope of that one who is discouraged and they're down and they're ready to give up. I'm telling you, if we don't lift up Jesus, then we ought to just go home. We ought to just go home. We need to lift him higher than anything we do, higher than us. Amen. Listen to me. Every Christian needs to forget themselves, and you need to get consumed with lifting up Jesus. We are so big in promoting us. Let's promote Jesus. Amen. That's what the world needs. We see Jesus. God said, I made you so that you would have dominion over everything. Everything would be subject to you. But you sinned. You did. I did. You did. Now we're subject to death. Now we're subject to bondage. But we see Jesus. He died for us. He took that punishment for me. We see Jesus. We need to lift him up, folks. That's what people need to see. He needs to be lifted up in our Sunday school. He needs to be lifted up in our Christian school. He needs to be lifted up in our bus ministry. He needs to be lifted up in our shepherd's ministry. He needs to be lifted up in our deaf ministry. He needs to be lifted up, oh, certainly in our prison ministry. Amen. I mean, of all the people that need Jesus, if someone who knows what bondage is as the jail door closes and clicks and locks, and they understand when you talk about bondage. Hey, listen, sir. You need Jesus today. Here he is. Lift him up, my friend. Lift him up. Higher than anything that you can. Higher than anything you do. He is the answer. He's the solution. You know, the difference. And here's the difference between the unsaved. I mean, I know a lot of unsaved people. They're nervous. Boy, you know, jobs are tough. Economy's tough. The way things are going, it's looking real scary. Oh, you know, people are predicting 2012. It's going to be over. Ain't going to be over for me. Why? Because I see Jesus. Oh, you say, oh, is the Antichrist alive? He might be. He might be. I got news for you. If Jesus is coming soon, the Antichrist is very much alive. And he's all over the place. I mean, he's getting his power together. Huh? You say, what are you going to do? I see Jesus. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep doing right. But I got news for you. I see Jesus. I'm not going to take my eyes off of Jesus because Jesus has already taken care of all that. Amen. I'm not in bondage to hell. Amen? I'm not in bondage to sin. I listen to me. I have Jesus Christ. There's a difference between the lost and the Christian. We see Jesus. You don't know what to do if you're not saved. You don't understand all that's going on in our world. You're scared. Hey, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. It amazes me. People say, you don't seem to be worried about this. Somebody the other day said, you're always happy. How can you be so happy in times like this? Boom, there's a great opportunity. Huh? Amen? What are you so happy all the time? They asked me, they said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm excited. They said, you're always excited. What are you so happy about? Things are tough. Things are bad. I'll tell you what I'm happy about. We see Jesus. There is a difference. Hey, Christian, tell your face there's a difference. Huh? Hey, when you go to work, show people there's a difference. We see Jesus. Lift him up. Amen. Amen. Boy, some of you aren't convinced. I'm going to preach longer till you start responding better. So if you want lunch, you better smile. Amen. Let me tell you, we need to lift up Jesus. Perhaps you're here today and you've never been saved. You know, in your heart, you know you need Jesus. I mean, I always think back to that Old Testament story, and the Bible says that God told Moses to put a brass serpent on a pole and hold it up in the midst of all the people. Do you know the truth of the matter? Some of the people died anyway. Can you imagine that? I mean, honestly, some of the people died. Well, I thought God said if they would look, they would live. You know what that tells me? They didn't look. Isn't it amazing? You could be sitting in church today, lost on your way to hell, and you won't take Jesus as your Savior. I'm just saying, look, trust Him, call on Him. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And you say, no. You mean you'd rather die? You'd rather be subject to death in hell? You mean you'd rather go through that? You mean you'd rather be without Him? Wow. And yet, that's how it is. That's how it's going to be with the teen meeting. There will be some that will look, and they'll lift up their eyes, and they'll see Jesus, and their life will be changed. And there will be some that will say, I don't want that. No, no. How sad if you're here today and you're like that. Please, 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 I beg you to look at Jesus. I beg you to take Jesus, call upon Him, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you. You know today you need Jesus. He died on the cross. He loves you. He'll save you. He'll help you. He'll keep you. Let me tell you, we're lifting Him up. We're lifting Him up. I hope you'll take Jesus as your Savior. I think about Peter, and he walked on water. Isn't that amazing? I mean, literally walked on water. But he walked on water because he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. And the Bible says when he started looking around, he started to sink. Hey, you're here today and you're walking on water too. And your eyes are on Jesus and you're going through a trial and you're going through a storm and the wind is blowing and the lightning is flashing and the thunder is crashing and you're going through a storm. Let me tell you, keep your eyes on Him. Amen. We see Jesus. People say, how do you get through that? How do you go through that trial? How can you keep going? Hey, I'll tell you how I keep going. I got my eyes on Jesus. That's how. Amen. Amen. And that's how you're going to make it as well. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I love it. It says, but we see Jesus. We're no longer over everything. Now we're subject to something, but we see Jesus. And He took care of that for us. You know, when the heathen came to Philip, they said, sir, we would see Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. They went to the right person, someone who sees Him. Amen? Amen. I got news for you. There's people all over this world that need to see Jesus. And let me tell you, you've seen Him. You know Him. He's in your heart. You're saved. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. How can people see Jesus? Let me give you just three things real quick. Number one, we see Jesus in the Scriptures. We see Him in the Word of God, John chapter 1 and verse 1. Familiar verses here. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And it's no wonder that the cults want to take these verses out and they want to change these verses, because obviously the world and Satan does not want people to see Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And notice in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's He talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. Very interesting that when I came in, Brother Collins and I, we exchanged Scripture every Sunday morning, and His scripture that He gave me today is, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. And He said, when we partake of the Word of God, we partake of God Himself. Isn't that good? And he wrote that. He knew. He didn't know what I was preaching on, but God knew what I was preaching on. And He gave me that this morning. And isn't that good? When we partake of the Word of God, we partake of God Himself. And I'm not talking about cannibalism. I'm not talking about anything spooky. I'm talking about the Word of God. It is Jesus. He is the Word. Amen. And every page talks about Him. Every page speaks about Him. From the Old Testament sacrifice to the New Testament, where He is the spotless Lamb of God, sacrificed once for all, shed His blood, sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven to cover and take away my sin. We see Jesus. You say, how do you know you're going to heaven? Hey, I know I'm going to heaven because I see Jesus, and I see Jesus right here in His Word, and I see that Jesus died on a cross to pay for my sin. Hey, listen to me. I know that I'm saved today because I see Jesus in the Scriptures. That's why there's such an attack on the Bible today. That's why the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible. That's why you get tired when you're reading. Huh? Devil, hey, he'll let you watch some stupid thing on television, but you try to read the Word of God and all of a sudden, that's why so many people have drool in their Bibles. Huh? You know? Well, preacher, it's just not interesting. Oh, it would be interesting if you tell the devil to leave you alone. Yeah. Amen. You know, there's an attack on the Bible because the devil doesn't want you to see Jesus. And you read this book, you see Jesus all the time. He's everywhere in the Bible. You need to see Him today. Hey, you're here and you're not saved. You need to see Him. That's how I got saved. Somebody showed me from the Word of God. They showed me Jesus. But you know, as Christians, we need to see Him too. That's why we need to read our Bibles. And we need to know our Bible so we can show other people Jesus. Hey, I'm not talking about you can just call Jesus down and He'll stand up here. I'm talking about you show people the Scriptures. You show them the Word of God. He said, I'm the Word. Amen. People need to see Him. And they must have the Word of God. On the bus, we need to preach about Jesus and lift Him up. When we go soul winning, we need to show people by taking the Word of God and show them the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it in our vacation Bible school. We do it in our Sunday school classes. We do it in every ministry of our church. We preach and we teach the Scripture, the King James Bible, the Word of God, and we make sure in our preaching services, that's what people hear, that's what people see. That's why so many are carrying their Bibles. You know, you go to some churches and nobody has a Bible. Isn't that amazing? Of course, they wouldn't know which one to bring. We make it real easy for you. There is one. We make it real simple. And then you have it, and when I read it, you can follow right along. When Tim reads it, you don't have to be confused. When he says, let's do responsive reading, I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse, we're all reading the same thing. Isn't that good? Doesn't it sound confusing? Doesn't the Bible say God is not the author of confusion? But it would only make sense the devil would confuse things because he doesn't want you to see Jesus. Why? He wants to be the one that runs your life. He wants you to be under bondage of Him. That's exactly right. But you know, the author in Hebrews said, but we see Jesus. All things are not subject to us anymore because of our sin, but we see Jesus and we can conquer that. And we can have victory over that. Amen. That's why you ought to know the Word of God. You ought to learn the Word of God. You ought to talk about the Word of God. You need to share the Word of God. Preaching, teaching, testifying, gospel tracts, giving people the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, praise the Lord. And you know, God says His Word never will return void. You get it out there. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Amen. And you can always trust something's going to happen. That's why, well, you know, I got a few good arguments that I give, but nothing is as good as just giving them the old-fashioned Word of God. I've watched people melt when they hear the Word of God. I've seen people fall apart when they hear the Word of God. I've seen some rough, tough sinners fall on their face in tears because they heard the precious Word of God. I'm telling you, people need to see Jesus. And we see Jesus in the Scriptures. Number two, we see Jesus in the Spirit. John 16 and verse 13, the Holy Spirit of God. John 16, please, whatever you do, don't miss this. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. You see that? Well, there's so many religions today that want all the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, no, no! Do not emphasize Me. He says, if you want to emphasize Me, then I'm out of here. Are you listening? He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus said this, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. He said the Holy Spirit is going to talk about Me. We see Jesus in the Holy Spirit. You know, He is going to promote Jesus all the time. You say, what do you mean the Holy Spirit? I'm talking about an invitation time. When you start getting nervous. I'm talking about invitation time. I'm talking about when you're reading your Bible and your palms start to get a little sweaty. I'm talking about invitation time. Preacher says heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if you're sure you're saved, 100% sure you're going to heaven, raise your hand, and you don't raise your hand, and you're sweaty. And your heart starts to beat a little faster. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you say, boy, preacher, you sure stepped on my toes, and I just stayed up here. What are you talking about? I'm talking about conviction of the Holy Spirit. What's he doing? He's showing you Jesus. And that's convicting. That is so convicting. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will always, 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 always point us to Jesus. He will not point us to himself. He will not point us to other things. He always, always points us to Jesus. We see Jesus in the Scriptures. We also see him in the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us about Jesus. He teaches about Jesus. He leads us to Jesus. And that's why, you know, Christian, that's why God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Because if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, well, a couple things are true. One thing that's true, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, that means I don't have ucky stuff in me. You know, sin, wickedness. The only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to get rid of all the other stuff that shouldn't be there so that the Holy Spirit can fill that spot. But you know, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, people are going to be affected because they're going to see Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit always promotes Jesus. You know, folks that gossip all the time, boy, we've got them. Huh? You know what? You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you want to promote what you want to promote and talk about what you want to talk about. The Holy Spirit wants to talk about Jesus. Why am I the only one smiling? I'm just saying, people need Jesus. That's why, you know, that's why it's so important in church that we be filled with the Spirit of God. You folks are going to work tonight among the teenagers with the youth explosion. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't go into that thing carnal. Amen. They need Jesus. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see your carnality. They need to see Jesus. Boy, this is good. Amen. When you become filled with the Holy Spirit, you think more about Jesus. You talk more about Jesus. You lift him up. Amen. Amen. Folks who gripe, folks who criticize, folks who are negative, you're not filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I just want people to see Jesus. Then be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Get out your Bible and show them. I'm telling you, they can see Jesus. That's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, always lifting up Jesus. Everything we do, vacation Bible school, Christian school, nursery, primary, teen ministry, prison, rest home, whatever it is, wherever it is, we need to promote the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up. Number one, seen in the Scriptures, we see him there. Number two, we see him in the work of the Holy Spirit. Number three, he's seen in the saints. Oh yeah, God's people. So what are you talking about, preacher? Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And I kind of talk about that when I talk about being filled with the Spirit. But you know, God's people, can show Jesus in their lives. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, what do people see when they see you? Where you work. They won't come to church. What do they see at work? You could take Jesus to work. Huh? Here it says we're changed into the same image as we behold the Lord. Well, that's only through growth. I pretty much every service, I ask God, always, God, help us to be different because of this service. Help us to be changed. Help us not to be the same. I want to be more and more like Jesus. Why? Because that's what the people, that's what the lost, that's what the world needs to see. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see Doug Rogers. And they don't need to see you. They need Jesus. Now, you can be a friend, and you can be a loved one, and you can be someone who is a helper, but the best kind of help you can do is you can show them Jesus, amen, in your life. Colossians 3 and verse 18, it says, that's not what I'm looking for. All right, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, I just read it. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, Where's my verse? Colossians 1, verse 27. I'm getting ahead of myself. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Notice what it says, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope of the person who's about to commit suicide? What's the hope? You say, well, they won't come to church. Okay, could they see Christ in you? They could. What about that person you work with and their life is a mess and their home's falling apart and you say, well, I'd like to help them. Okay, you can help them, but you need Christ to come out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ-likeness, amen? Christ-likeness in the Christian. That's the way it's supposed to be. Christ-likeness. And it should be more and more every day. We're supposed to grow. Amen? Look at Acts 4, verse 13. Acts 4:13. I'm just about done. Some of you smiled for the first time. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, well, I thank God for that. Doesn't that encourage you? Amen. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, what do you suppose people think about you? Yeah, here's somebody that's about to, they're about to make a decision. It's going to ruin their life, and they need to see Jesus. And you walk in the room to talk to them. Who do they think you've been with? NFL? Because that's all you know? NBA? Because that's all you know? Some worldly thing, because that's all you know? Or is there somehow, some way you could show them Jesus? Because you've been with Him. These, they said, what's obvious? You know, Peter and John, it's obvious. They've been with Jesus. And with their life, they could show Him Christ. We should cause unsaved to think we're a glimpse of Jesus. By the way, the reason that offends many of us is because they crucified Jesus. We want to be everybody's buddy. We certainly would not want any kind of persecution on us. And yet the Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. But they still need to see Jesus. Do you know people were showing me Jesus? I had Christian people around me as a teenager, and I was lost, and I cussed, and I swore, and I was wicked. And I had all these Christian people around me, and sometimes they would talk to me about the Lord, and they would tell me I needed to be saved, and I'd cuss them out. But I saw Jesus. And He was lifted up. And I knew I needed Him. By the way, the harder I cussed, the more I knew I needed Him. The more names I called Him, the more I knew I needed Him. The more the Holy Spirit bothered me. You ever been convicted? Should be every time you see Jesus. That's how it works. Amen. The reason for doing right, the reason for holy living, the reason for having standards, the reason, by the way, the reason for getting along with each other is so people see Jesus. Huh? Why? Well, they'll know we're Christians by our love one for another. When they see you attacking each other, they don't see Jesus. When they see you treating each other right, they see Jesus. When they see you enduring affliction, they see Jesus. Hey, Christian, do you realize people can see Jesus in you? And they need to. Amen? They really, really need to. Galatians 2, verse 20. Just about done. Galatians 2, verse 20. We see Jesus. I don't say that with pride. I say it so you can know. We see Jesus. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He only lives in you if you're crucified with Him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ liveth in me. First, crucified. Take up my cross, as we talked about in the missions conference. and then people see Jesus in me. That's what people need more than anything else. Bunch of teenagers going to come tonight. Some never heard the gospel, never heard a preacher get up and preach. They're not going to understand when a preacher gets up to preach. They're not going to get it. They're not going to, but I promise you this, they're going to see Jesus. And some will see for the first time. I'm always excited when I introduce visitors, always excited when somebody rides our bus. And I always wonder, is this the first time they ever came to church? Is this their very first time? Here's a little child, says, bus captain says, hey, here, this child's a visitor in church. And I think, wow, they're going to get to see Jesus for the first time. They maybe have never heard anybody say, I love you, but he says it over and over again. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Hey, God says, I love you. You love me? Oh, yeah, I love you. Wow, you love me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. God says, I love you. And they can see that in the scriptures. They can see that as the Holy Spirit convicts them. They can see that in those that have the love of Christ coming from them. Hey, listen, show people Jesus with your life today. Tonight, when you come and you go over there and you work with teenagers that some of them never been to church before, there'll be some that are going to really be a pain. You were. I was. Till I saw him. Till I saw him. I was messed up. How about you? Were you messed up? Till I saw him. Yeah. How about you? Were you a pain? I was. Till I saw him. I invented cuss words. Some of them you say I invented. Huh? Till I saw him. That's all I knew. Are you listening? But we see Jesus. Boy, those people, they sure have a lot of problems. They need to see Jesus. Huh? Hey, that crowd, look at them. They're worshiping the devil. Boy, they're nuts. What's wrong with them? They need to see Jesus. And they can see Jesus in the scriptures, in the work of the Holy Spirit, and in you, the saint, the one who is saved. They can and need to see Jesus. What do they see when they see you? Do they see Jesus or do they see you? I'm telling you, you can't help them like Jesus can help them. We see Jesus. Hey, go home this afternoon, rejoice, because we see Jesus. But don't let it stop there. Let others see Jesus with your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps there's someone here today who's never trusted Christ as Savior. I talk about seeing Jesus. You say, I've heard of him. I know what he's done. I believe he died on the cross. But I don't understand all of it. My friend, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. And I'd like you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. You say, please pray for me. I am not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, you say, I'm just not sure. I don't know. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Someone else, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If you're not sure, in just a moment we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. Someone will take a Bible. They'll show you Jesus. Show you what you need to do. And you can be saved today. Praise the Lord. How many would say, preacher, I'm already a Christian. I'm saved. But God is speaking to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, raise your hand. I'm already saved. I'm a Christian. God's dealing with me. Thank you. Father, I pray that you'll help those that are lost to get saved and help Christians to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ with the scriptures, with being filled with the Spirit of God, and Lord, with our lives. And I pray people will see Jesus because of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play, turn your eyes upon Jesus. God speaking to your heart today, you have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. If you need to come, you come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and God's spoken to your heart, maybe you're not a good testimony. Maybe God's spoken to you about that. Maybe you've thought about what people really see when they see your life and see you at work. your family, people around you. What do they see? They need to see Jesus. So I've got a lot of people that I know of, their lives are a mess. They need to see Jesus. Have you shown them Jesus? Have you opened the scriptures? Have you let the Spirit of God control your life? God, speak into your heart. Still time. If you need to be saved or you need to make any kind of decision, several have come. God, speak into your heart. You come. We see Jesus. Preacher, what are you so excited about? We see Jesus. That's what I'm excited about. What about the economy? Don't see the economy. I see Jesus. What about the end times? Don't see the end times. I see Jesus. What about all the signs of the Antichrist? Not looking at the Antichrist. I'm looking at Jesus. Somebody says, well, how are you making it through this trial that you're going through in your life? I don't know how I'm making it. I just have my eyes on Jesus. That's what Peter said. He said, I'm going to walk on water. But he had to keep his eyes on Jesus. There's folks in this room, you're walking on water right now. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Isn't that a good verse? Amen. The things of earth. You see Jesus. Your football team doesn't matter so much. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying get a glimpse of Jesus. All of a sudden, you know, shopping's not as important. Not more important than Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. It'll affect everybody around you who needs to see Him. Amen. All right. Don't forget the practices that Brother Don talked about, all of those taking place. Of course, the cantata coming up and different practices for that. Brother Caleb has talked to the teens already. They know where they're supposed to be. I have given instruction as far as tonight. Again, teens, when you are dropped off on the property, there is no in-between, okay? You're either over there. By the way, if you're an adult and you're working over there and there's one of our teenagers acting up, you just send them over here. All right, we'll put them right here on the front row and they'll just sit there. How's that sound? You say, you're mean. No, I want people to see Jesus, not you acting like an idiot. Right? Amen. We don't, you know, He didn't spend all this money so that you could show everybody who you are. We want people to be able to see Jesus. Isn't that good? You like this, don't you? Yeah, it's because you're nuts. But anyway, so we'll start our service at 6 o'clock with our few little people that are here. And we're going to have a great time. And then the Youth Explosion will start at 6:30 with all kinds of wacky stuff. If you're a soul winner and you want to go over there, you can still be here in this service and then go over afterwards. There will be plenty of time. And we're looking forward to baptizing some folks and it being just a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Brother Don, would you do that, please?
Father, we thank You for Jesus and for what He did for us. Lord, the truth in the Scripture that everything about Your Scripture and the Holy Spirit would point to Him and point men to Him. Lord, I'd pray that each of us in this room this morning would desire to walk so close to You that other people can't help but see Jesus through our lives. Father, may we fall in love afresh and anew each morning with the Savior who gave Himself in our place. Lord, as we go from this room, may we show Jesus to those around. Father, again, we pray Your Holy Spirit's power on the youth explosion tonight, that that each one that comes would see Jesus and respond to the invitation that he has given. Guide us and direct us, Lord. May we show Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Gather us again together tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.